Good evening, Jonathan. Welcome to the Space Show.
Thank you, Andrew. Glad to be with you.
The Sky and Space magazine recently had a name change. Why did you do that?
Yes, the name used to be Southern Astronomy. We changed the name to Sky and Space in November last year for a few reasons. Primarily, and it's a bit surprising when people hear about it, was to combat astrology. We found that our magazine, when it was called Southern Astronomy, would always be placed in the astrology section in news agencies, which of course did us no good at all, because people who are interested in the real thing, astronomy, would go into the news agencies and not be able to find it. Or if they had a bit of experience, they'd know to go to the astrology section. So that was one reason to combat that problem. We tried to let the news agents know to put it in the right spot, but it just didn't work for some reason or other. Also, we had been increasing our space exploration content, and we wanted to get the word space in the title. So we couldn't just add space into the present title because it would have become too long. Another reason is that the old title used to be two very long words, Southern Astronomy, placed across the top of the page. And in many news agencies where they stacked the magazine side by side, it would be mostly covered up, and you wouldn't know at a glance that it was what it was. So our present title is much shorter and more compact and sits up in the top left-hand corner and is easily visible. Mainly it was revolved around aspects of news agency sales.
When did the actual original magazine, Southern Astronomy, begin?
Well, it began in early 1987 with our decision to proceed with it. We'd done a bit of research into the potential market and the quantity of editorial material around, and found that both the market and the material was there. So we spent the next year working up to it, and we launched the first issue of the magazine at a convention of amateur astronomers in Sydney in Easter 88. So this is our sixth year of publishing.
Over the years, of course, you must have covered quite a bit on astronomy. Any things that stand out over those years?
Yes. A year before we started, the big supernova went off in the Large Magellanic Clouds, supernova 1987A. And unfortunately, we weren't in time to catch that as it happened, but there was a lot of news, a lot of research coming out in the following years, and still is, on that. Other big stories are the Hubble telescope. Despite its problems, it's been very successful. So we've had a lot of Hubble material in the last few years since it was launched in 1990. Another big event, of course, was the flyby of Neptune by the Voyager 2 probe in 1989. Now, that was very, very exciting. I happened to go down to the Tidbinbilla tracking station to be there on the spot when the data was coming back in, and that was really thrilling to sit and watch on the screen these images coming back from billions of kilometres away. And we were able to get that information out to our readers very quickly. So that was an exciting event, yeah.
And coming up in the next few years, of course, there are lots of more things happening in space as well as astronomy. What do you got in the next couple of issues?
Well, there are some big things coming up, and in fact there is a very big story around at the moment that only broke, to use a publishing term, a few days ago, really, and that is the MACHO news. MACHOs are massive astrophysical compact halo objects, and they're the opposite of WIMPs, which are weakly interacting mutual particles. Now, MACHOs are meant to be big, dark, massive things like burned-out stars or black holes or free-wandering planets. And they're believed to be inhabiting the outer regions of our galaxy in a big halo, a big swarm around the outside of our galaxy. And these have been proposed for many years, but no one had ever seen one. But just recently, in the last week or so, the news has come from Canberra that a team of astronomers from Australia and America have discovered one of these things. And that's a very, very big story, because what they've managed to do is discover this so-called dark matter, which astronomers believe makes up 90% of the universe. When you look out into the universe and see all the glowing stuff, all the galaxies and stars, and you add up all the mass that there must be in those things, you find that there's simply not enough mass to keep everything together gravitationally, so there must be a whole lot of other stuff out there. And MACHOs were proposed as one method of supplying the mass, and WIMPs, which are a theoretical subatomic particle, were the other option. And with this MACHO discovery, it looks fairly certain that it's taken the prize sort of the IOC decision for astronomy, if you like, as far as dark matter is concerned. So we're going to be covering that story in the next couple of issues. More news in the next few issues about Mars Observer. Poor old Mars Observer, of course, and I'm sure your listeners will have heard about it before, has gone, it seems, kaput. So we'll be covering what NASA's going to do, both to in their attempts still to try and contact the spacecraft and their plans to recover the situation by possibly launching another spacecraft next year. Now, big things coming up next year, of course, will be the 25th anniversary of Apollo 11 and a few of the other Apollos around the same year, 1969. We'll be having lots and lots of stories, both on Apollo 11 and the other Apollos, and also stories looking ahead to the future of space exploration and solar system exploration. Each issue basically will have an article, a retrospective of what was going on 25 years ago, and an article about where we might be in 25 or more years from now.
Is there any chance we'll be back on the moon by then?
Yes, there's certainly a chance of that. I don't know how good the chance is. NASA is having a few troubles getting money at present. There's certainly lots of plans around. The previous president and even the one before him made a lot of noises over the last decade or so about getting back to the moon by 2007 or 2017 or 2030 or whatever. I don't believe that we'll get back to the moon by any time before, say, about 2020.
You've got a magazine coming out in the next few days. How will our listeners recognise it on the newsstand?
Easily. You have a look for this big, bold, yellow title, Sky and Space, in the top left-hand corner, and it's got a lovely artist's impression of Voyager flying past Neptune on the cover.
Well, thanks for joining us tonight on the Space Show, Jonathan.
Thank you very much, Andrew.